This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring up into the booth, it is John Gray. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Now, I know we have pressing chocolate milk questions to get to, but I think the first most important question is, what happened with your curveball last year? Why did we just not use it?
I tried to. That was the plan, to use it. And every game I got into, the first three or four I would throw would just be in the dirt or just not really close to the zone. And that's kind of the whole key with my curveball.
Yeah.
I'm not really going to punch anybody out with it a lot, but it's supposed to slow them down and just be used as a strike. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just my error if it's just not using it as a strike. Because if we kept throwing it, we'd have kept throwing it, you know, more and more and more. But hitters didn't really respect it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate more usage, or did that kind of tell you the direction you wanted to go last season?
Yeah, I need to use it more. I just had to get better at throwing it in the zone. That's
okay.
It, really.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's all I'm trying to do is throw it for strikes right now.
So you came up here, mm-hmm. You have a nice chocolate milk.
I do.
And you said you drink it every day.
Every day.
Is it a certain time you drink chocolate milk, or just you're going to have chocolate milk at some point during the day?
After a workout or at nighttime. Yeah. Like it's every day. And I give chocolate milk the credit for just surviving all the comebackers that have hit me.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're coming in like 109, 112. I mean, but no broken bones. So.
Is there a food you have to have every day?
No.
Is there a favorite food?
I love breakfast. I love waffles and pancakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We had that discussion. Waffle. Is there one that you like slightly over the other?
Not really.
Waffles have the built-in syrup pockets.
Waffles are nice. Awesome. Waffles are fancy and awesome and everything, but I'm making homemade pancakes myself with peanut butter is like the best thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter in the batter or peanut butter on top?
Just peanut butter on top.
Okay.
Now, since you mentioned your love of chocolate milk, this is what I've thought numerous times. Have you ever driven like an Oak Farms truck on the highway and then just thought, that thing is filled with chocolate milk?
I have.
Okay. So follow-up question. I'm really glad that you said yes. Follow-up question. Do you think about it, it's just a whole bunch of bottles, or is there ever a tiny part of your brain that thinks it's like a swimming pool just filled with chocolate milk and you could just drop in there and start drinking it?
100% the latter, yes.
Me too.
Like, and sometimes when I see cows, I think of the same thing.
Yes!
You can just walk but up and...
Is that cow? Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. It just makes me really thirsty for chocolate milk. And I don't know. I feel like it's like Wonka. It's like a Wonka thing.
There's your headline. You know I mean? John Gray is thirsty. That's the headline we're going to put it.
No, Kevin, I'm going to ask you first, and then, John, you follow up. If there's one liquid you could swim in besides water, is it chocolate
100%.
Milk?
100%. Yeah.
It's chocolate milk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Corey?
I always thought it would be like hand sanitizer so I could be clean, like the whole
thing.
But
it might get
like
in
that.
Your mouth.
Yeah, you're right. I guess, but I've never thought about swimming in another Jello. Like, but then I'm stuck.
That's not liquid, though.
See, and this is why John gets me, because you could tell immediately he's like, I have had that thought. And
100%.
I was like, not a lot of people have. So thank you for, you know, vindicating me on that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
problem.
It.
Yes, sir.
He said when he sees a cow, he's like, I'm, you know what? Now I want some milk. And do you ever go like, I'm going to go grab an udder and just try like right out of the...
Always wanted to know, but I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. Well, Pilar has some llamas, so I don't know if he has any cattle on there that we could find out about, but we can definitely talk to Pilar.
Yeah, we got to get something done. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We got a whole co-op situation happening there.
So we heard in the off season that you picked up shooting a bow and arrow.
Uh-huh.
Is that true? And then how good are you at it now?
It's very true. As soon as I had my foot surgery, there wasn't much I could do. So I was just wanting to get back in archery because something I did as a kid. But, yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved it. I got really into it this offseason. Bought, like, 10 different bows, but all traditional. No pulleys, none of that. Just all traditional bows, horse bows, long bows. And
I saw, like, Bo Jackson do this on, like, his 30 for 30, and he has, like, fake deer set up plus targets. Do you have different targets?
I do, yeah. I even started making my own targets, and, yeah, I got really into it. It's really fun.
Is it ever a hitter that you really dislike in Major League Baseball and you're like, in your face, Mike Trout?
Ooh, that's a good idea, but no, I haven't gotten that. Okay. I haven't slipped down that path yet.
And you said you did this as a kid. Was this like from the scouts or how did you get into it to begin with?
I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old, I just really wanted a bow and arrow. And yeah, I got one year. I tried to make my own arrows and everything. I even have a scar from it. But I loved it. I thought it was great. Uh-huh. Some of it kind of falls into that nerd category. I love old school stuff, like medieval stuff. You know, Lord of the Rings, all that stuff is my favorite. So, really, 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 I think that's a big player in it for sure.
Okay.
When I was 10, 11 years old, my cousin and her husband got into it, and they became like 1 and 2 in the world. And I got to go follow them and watch them. She was a model for Oregon bows for a while too, and
that's
so
cool.
Like that, they gave her all these bows and arrows to work with, and they had a shop in New Mexico that they had, and it was a blast. Like it was so much fun that they sent me home and my sister with a bow and arrow, just something little to work with.
Yeah,
and so we'd go set up our pizza boxes in the back and draw little targets and everything. Yeah. And it was the day that my sister decided to walk in front of the pizza box shooting. And my dad was standing, and he saw the arrow go right past her head and hit the box, and he was like, we're going to have to take a break on that one, guys. So just be careful while you're out there is all I'm saying.
Safety first.
Yeah, safety first.
I don't know why I got so scared. I know your sister. She's alive. But for half a second, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, what happened, Corey?
Now, you mentioned maybe you love other medieval things.
I do.
Do you or do you not own a mace?
I don't have a mace. I do have some other things.
You have chainmail?
Please.
I don't have chainmail.
Okay.
No, I haven't gotten into the armor side of things, but I do have some really, really cool swords.
Yes.
A really cool like spear thing. I don't even know what you call it, but it's really cool. I love it.
Have you spent an irrational amount of money on some of these items?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. My wife even got me this cool prop from The Hobbit, and it's like Gandalf's staff. So I have that at home.
What?
It's cool. It lights up and everything. It's awesome. I love that stuff.
And how often do you say you shall not pass?
I did it like 10 times the first day I had it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
I think my wife was sick of it. Yeah.
Now, the Lord of the Rings movies are great, but can we all agree that at the most that Hobbit thing should have been 2 movies and maybe we could have condensed it down to 1 movie?
Yes, you know what really makes me mad about The Hobbit is just the overuse of CGI.
Yeah.
I think the Orcai and the orcs from the original trilogy were so much better. So much better.
And then they had that hour-long dinner party scene, and they started washing dishes and dancing around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is too long.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need 3 movies for this.
Right, yeah. It was a little strange.
So you seem like a candidate for this. Obviously, like, I saw Paul Skeens. He throws the football. Nolan Ryan used to do that. But now recently, Yamamoto has come up with a javelin thrown program to help him pitch. Have you ever looked into what is Yamamoto doing with the javelin to help his pitching?
No, but it sounds really fun.
That sounds like something that you would be like, this could be fun in the off season to learn how to throw the javelin, yet it would also help my pitching too.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the bow would help too, you know, just build up some back muscles and stuff. So
has that been the case?
I feel stronger.
Okay.
I feel stronger. I'm waiting for it to translate into velo. So
yeah,
we'll see. It's still early. But
that'll be the day when we come out to spring training and there's 40 guys not playing catch with each other. They're just throwing the javelin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, I think it's cool. I mean, if it works, too.
Absolutely. Speaking of guys throwing catch, how intense is Jock Peterson during that? Because, man, he's just kind of...
Yeah,
soft tossing it out there.
Mike was watching him stretch.
Yeah, not to call him out or anything, but it seems like he's like, I mean, I'll be there for the drills, but maybe not max effort.
Yeah, and there's some guys like that, too, like kind of just a little bit more loose right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but that's his way of getting ready, though. But, I mean, when he sets between the lines, it's go time. So, you know, I kind of have a little bit of that myself. Like, I don't get so amped up as other starting pitchers before games and do a bunch of stuff. I kind of like to chill out beforehand and, like, let things progress. So
that's interesting because, Mike, when we watched Jack, was it last year?
In
his first start, Jack Leiter's first starts, he looked amped up. Like, mm-hmm. he looked like he was all over the place. And we felt from our side that maybe by inning two, he was kind of lost a lot of energy from that. Do you feel like that's kind of maybe a little meditation kind of helps reserve a little bit of that as you're going along?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, just keeping your breath, you know, I think that's big. But, yeah, I think mentally you should be mentally prepared. But at the same time, I mean, I had to learn that the hard way. And it was because I kind of went in one game and was like, I didn't really prepare at all. And I noticed that it was a really good game. I was like, why do I have to do all these 100 different things beforehand whenever I can just go have a good game like this and mm-hmm. just be, you know? So it was something that kind of transformed over time for me. I wasn't always that way, but, you know, I think he'll find some of that too. He'll find out what works out for him and he'll kick the other stuff to the side and be right where he needs to be.
You look so calm. Like, when you leave the mound, I'm just like, man, he just looks like he's extremely calm. And I wonder if you are that calm on the mound, too, or if in your head you're going through other things, too. I'm just kind of curious. You look very calm on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, I really try to be. You know, and sometimes you have to kind of almost feel like you're in slow motion because you want to go so fast out there. You'll be going way faster than normal, especially early. But just really trying to slow the game down. It feels really strange at first. You'll feel like you're going in slow motion, but it's, you know, it's getting everything in place to work out well, getting your body in all the right spots.
How good are you at letting go of some of the mistakes that you make out there? Because that's the biggest thing. I don't care who the hell you are. You're going to make mistakes. Are you able to push past them easily, or do they kind of stick with you? Because I'll just say for me, mistakes stick with me.
Yeah. I think mental mistakes stick with me really more. I know I'm going to miss spots. I know people are going to hit, you know, doubles, homers, whatever. But when I throw a pitch that I shouldn't have thrown, or when I just don't have conviction or something, that's something that kind of like really nags and kind of like it's just really in the back of your head. It kind of takes a while to go away.
How tough is that to overcome when, like, hey, the next batter keeps coming up, or the base runner keeps
short
moving?
Short memory. You know?
Yeah, and that's the fight. Like, that's the best place to be as a starting pitcher is to have that short memory and be able just to go to the next page, because the only thing you control is right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't do any good to dwell in the past or think about who's coming up. Just focus on right now. Like, that person that's coming up next doesn't even exist right now. So it's just taking care of everything in front of you and keeping the same body language. Like, I want to be more robotical out there in my body language.
And I know this maybe not even is a question, but what's tough is what works for John Gray might not work for me. What works for Jack Leiter might not work for Kamar Rocker. And that's always the tough part is, as a veteran, maybe talking to the younger guys, is you're trying to give them advice, but yet they have to be themselves too. And so your intensity on the mound might be different than his intensity and whatever. I don't know when it works or when you find that it's different for everybody, when they find what works for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what I think makes this starting pitcher kind of like stay at the major league level, is like figuring out what works for you, being able to go back to it, and just noticing the things that usually get you off track. With me, it's kind of more mechanical stuff, so there's some things I really got to go back to, and I'll realize that in a moment. But yeah, you find a couple of key things that really work for you, and they're always there, and you can go to those key things, and you'll never feel like you're out of place. Like, you'll always feel like you can get back in the zone, even if things go wrong.
You've had Jonah for a while now, but you had Higgy. You've had different catchers. Kind of the second catcher to Jonah has kind of been different from your time with the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. When do you feel comfortable with a new catcher?
I've always felt really comfortable. I mean, it could be someone's first day of catching me, because I feel like I play really simple. I feel like I'm mainly fastball, slider, we'll flip a curveball in. So I'm not really like, I don't know if they're thinking about pitches, at least. I'm thinking about executing. So I let the catcher kind of run with the plan. And unless something feels really, really right to me, I'll shake. But I like to run with the plan, and I feel like they figure me out right away. I'm not that hard to figure out. So,
do you like the automatic appeal that we've been trying out here at Surprise?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I really do. You know, hopefully it doesn't. I don't know what it's going to lead to, though. It could lead to a whole other thing. But for right now, I think it's cool.
It sounds like he has robot theories here. So maybe we dive into those at some point in the season, because we've always been afraid of the robots taking over.
You should have a healthy respect of that.
Well,
I agree.
Turn on the sprinklers. They're going to electrocute. But that being said, the you were here for the World Series. You saw that season, how that vibe was. Then last year, it seemed like there was a lot of frustration from injury, whatever, you know, not being what they wanted to be throughout the clubhouse. They were just like, man, I just can't figure this thing out. What do you feel the vibe is different this spring so far with this group?
Yeah, I feel it feels like guys are definitely more hungry. I feel, you know, it's a after what happened last year, like that kind of a season can really give you a lot of fuel. And I feel like we've used that in a really good way. People have like really taken care of their off season really well, done really good, coming to camp really strong. You know, I think we're really built up for a good season this year.
Yeah. I don't know how much you can speak to this. It might just be a theory some of us have had. Were there any conversations that took place with you in the off season about with the team about maybe being a closer?
No.
Okay.
No, and
I apologize. I have pushed that idea, so my
we have because we look at your velocity and we look at the slider and we're like, man, that for one inning is almost it's dominant. So that we have talked about that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, of course, like down the road, there may become a time for that. So it's good that I've been able to have a few outings in the past and you know that could be good for the future. But no, there's been no talks about it. You know, it's been get ready to start. You know, you're a starter and. But you know, if that time ever comes, it will be in a good spot. So, yeah, it's exciting.
I like hearing that from him. We're going to be okay. If it ever comes, we're going to be okay.
And it felt like he forgave us for maybe asking the question. just asking the question. How much do you like we always hear about young players is like, hey, did you go talk to the veterans? Do you ever seek out the young players and you're like, hey, I saw this or I saw that? Or do you prefer if they're like, hey, they should come to us if they have questions.
I'm a little more shy, I guess. Like, okay. I'm not the most talkative person, but I try to make myself available. You know, I wish I was a little better social, but I'm not. But there, you know, I try to start off with something off the field. I talk to people about stuff off the field, funny movies, whatever, and then that kind of like makes us comfortable with each other, and then we're able to talk about other things too. So
yeah,
I try to keep it simple. Like I don't want to get anybody's head. You know, I don't want to get anybody's head. It's their career. I want to tell them exactly what I want to give them my opinion too. So,
if tomorrow was your last day ever on the radio, what would you do?
Tomorrow's his last day ever on the radio.
What would I do? Oh man,
what would be a fun segment that you'd want to do? I know you've kind of never done radio except for like interviews, but what would be like, I would love to pull this off.
Has AI gone too far?
Oh, I mean, you have the leeway.
I don't know, man.
We can make that segment happen if you want tomorrow. Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad idea, but sky's limit. I mean, you can do whatever, right?
Yeah, that's my plan.
I think he meant to say within FCC regulations, we would still like to
Mike's
stick
like, who knows?
With
change
but it's
if,
over.
If possible. Okay, but we still have to keep working here. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike. Uh-huh. Yeah, you didn't really totally help that situation out, John.
Well, John, after tomorrow, he's all yours because he's got TV responsibilities with the Rangers this year, so he's excited about that. We're happy for him.
Man, thank you very much for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it.